has entered the contemporary vocabulary. It is the verb to Google. I wanted to see how many times Georgia had beaten Georgia Tech in football, so I Googled it. Or as I heard Melissa say to our daughter Clara, I was looking for a recipe, so I Googled it. As you know, Google is a web and an internet search engine. And analysts say that virtually 75 to 80% of searches on the internet go through Google. Why? The analysts say because in the beginning of the web engine process, if you went to Google's competitors, they had hundreds of words on their web page. If you went to Google's web page, there were 20 to 40. Google came to dominate the search engine process because it was the simplest to use. Some years ago, a man by the name of Steve Jobs created a little device called the iPod. The world changed forever, not necessarily for the better, but it changed. You can load, for those of you who are even more technologically ignorant than I, you can load thousands of songs upon this iPod. And it has, in its beginning, a little central button with four little touchstones around it. And even though there were cheaper devices that could do the same thing, in fact, could outperform the iPod came to dominate the industry. Why? Because it was the simplest to use. Our Lord knew a little something about simplicity, bringing simplicity out of complexity. An attorney trying to trap our Lord, says the scriptures, ask him a rather interesting question. Lord, what is the greatest commandment of all? Now, the attorney surely figured this question would flummox Jesus. It certainly would have flummoxed him, because in their day, there were no less than 613 laws that governed their culture. 613 laws that were attempting to translate the principles of the Ten Commandments into every aspect of human life. What man would possibly attempt to define the greatest law out of 613? The lawyer couldn't do it. He didn't figure Jesus could do it either. But our Lord answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Upon these two sentences hang all of the law and all of the prophets. In two sentences, our Lord reduced 613 laws to two simple themes. Love the Lord your God in such a way that it focuses all of your intellect, all of your emotions, all of your priorities, all of your resources. Cultivate a relationship to the divine that does these things, and then pour that love for God out in relationship to other people. And love them as you would love yourself. Simplicity. Our Lord realized that many of these laws, out of these 613 laws, had to do with keeping the Sabbath holy. But in fact, these laws had proliferated to such a degree that trying to keep the Sabbath holy had become a burden. They had become so many laws that it was actually almost against the law to heal someone on the Sabbath. And our Lord stepped in and said, wait a second. Have our laws become so many and so ridiculous that they prevent us from doing good on the Sabbath? Our Lord said, no, we have it wrong. The Sabbath was not intended as a burden. The Sabbath was intended as a benefit to humanity, as he put it so elegantly. Man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Simplicity. Many of the laws out of the 613 had to do with ritual purity. What you could eat, what you could not eat, whom you could touch, and when you could touch them and still be clean for worship. It was a culture fixated on ritual purity. Our Lord said, don't worry about that. It's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out of it. When you say things that are unworthy of the kingdom of God. Simplicity. Ponder for a moment this fact. Our Lord left no book of sermons, no autobiography, no manifesto. What did he leave as his legacy? He left the church. The church. And how did he start the church? By preaching to thousands from the mountaintop or hundreds around the lake? No. He began by recruiting a small group of people and beginning to knit them together. To knit them to God and to knit them unto each other. He began by personally recruiting a small group of people. And it was a very laborious process because the people he selected were really slow learners. But he trained them, he knitted them to himself and unto God and unto each other. And that small single cell of believers started a movement that changed the world. Jesus gave them an exam as he was training them. Who do people say that I am? Some say John the Baptist come back to earth. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah or another prophet. And who do you say I am? And Peter answered for the group, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. A simple answer from a simple man. When people say, I really don't know enough theology, I don't have a deep enough faith to come to God. The truth of the matter is, all they have to do is appropriate that simple answer to that simple question. Who do you say that I am? If you can say with that simple fisherman, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, you are salvation material. If you can just say, with that simple man, this simple answer, you are the Christ. You know enough about God to begin your pilgrimage. Our Lord did equip our disciples with one more basic principle. He said, look, I'm going to send you out in the world. I'm going to ask you to do your love, to do the love of God. And as you do that love, it is going to exhaust you. It's going to take your time. It's going to take your resources. It's going to take your energy. It's going to take your money. It's going to take everything you've got. And sometimes you're going to wonder, is what I'm doing worth it? You're going to pour yourself out for people, and sometimes you're going to wonder, are they worth it? Jesus said, here's a simple principle. When you feed the hungry, when you clothe the naked, when you include the outcast, when you visit the imprisoned, when you reach out to the dispossessed, minister to them as if you were ministering to me. When you look upon their faces, however wretched, see my face. When you can pour yourself out as you feed the hungry and clothe the naked and include the outcast and visit the imprisoned and you see my face, it will sustain you. Simplicity. Our faith is founded on four simple actions, four simple themes. Are we connecting to God? Are we connecting to others as they seek to connect to God? Are we going out into the world to find those who need to connect to God? And are we meeting human need and ministering to it as if it were the very needs of Christ? You want to measure your effectiveness as a Christian? You want to measure your effectiveness as a family of God? Measure it by these four questions. Are we progressing in our connecting to God? Are we progressing in our connecting to each other as we seek to connect to God? Are we going out into the world and finding those who need to connect to God? And are we meeting human need where we might find it and ministering to it as if it was the very need of Christ? Upon those four themes, the Christian enterprise is founded. You ever thought about the fact that the things you and I are so interested in, our Lord said very little about? Our Lord said very little about life after death. Said virtually nothing about heaven or about hell in terms of describing them. Our Lord said nothing about biblical inspiration or predestination or the Trinity or hundreds of things about which Christians have argued for millennia. What did our Lord say? Come unto me. If you're weary and you're heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Our Lord said, you want a vibrant faith? Then just love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love others around you as you would love yourself. Upon those simple principles, the entire Christian enterprise is founded. When our Lord talks about God, does he use words like omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence and ubiquity? No. You want to know what God is like, says Jesus? God is like a woman who loses one of her 10 coins and she tears that house apart
until she finds that one lost coin. And then she throws a party in joy. You want to know what God is like? God is like a shepherd who's got 99 sheep, but that's not enough. His heart aches for that one lost sheep, and so he goes and searches and searches and searches and searches until he finds that one wayward lamb and brings it home and throws a party. You want to know what God is like? God is like a father whose crazy son goes off into the far country. And though this father loves his son, he knows the worst thing he could do would be to go chase him down. He has to wait until that son comes to his true identity. But when he does, and when he sees that son coming down the road, he throws dignity to the wind and runs down that road and grabs his son and hugs him to his chest and throws a party. He said, "My son who was dead is now alive." You want to know what God is like? God is like that woman who loses that coin, that shepherd who searches for that sheep, and that father who embraces his lost and reconciled child. If you can understand that about God, you understand all you need. Simplicity. Some years ago, the greatest theologian of the 20th century, Karl Barth, probably the greatest theologian of the last 500 years, came from his native Switzerland to the U.S. on a grand tour. Naturally, being America, we formed a press conference. And immediately some reporter asked him, "Dr. Barth, what is the most profound theological lesson you've learned in all of your study?" And this man who had literally written millions of words about God stood at the podium as everyone leaned forward to hear. And he said, "Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's the most profound lesson that I've learned. Are we growing? Are we progressing in our connecting with God? Are we growing? Are we progressing in our connection with others who are seeking to connect to God? Are we being effective in going out into the world and connecting to those who need to connect to God? Are we pouring ourselves out for those in need and treating them as if we would treat the very face of Christ? John said it simplest, God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These truths are simple, but that does not make them easy to appropriate. And yet, if we do, we can progress into God's kingdom and fathom something of its richness and its profundity. May we pray together.
Lord, may we grasp that indeed you love us. May we grasp that you call us to connect to your Heavenly Father and to connect to each other and to recruit others who need to connect to you and to love the needs of the world as we would love you in your need. May these challenges define our lives in our service of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit of Christ calls you to simple things, answer the call of the Christ to claim him as Savior and Lord. Answer the call to come splice your life into this community. Just come be a part of the family. Grow with us. Connect to us. Come. Do these simple things as we stand and sing together.